Everybody in this room know what metta, sending out metta means, pretty much. I'm a Tibetan, in a Tibetan tradition, and we use a practice called Tonglen. It's very similar to metta, and every tradition, in one way or another, has some kind of a metta practice where we're starting to open up. We open up to all sentient beings, and we're sending out compassion and love and caring. And when we do that, we're opening up our hearts. And I want you to kind of start to feel the difference. In the Tibetan tradition, the mind is actually in the heart. And the ego mind up here is basically just the ego mind. It's not the real thing. It's everything is from the heart. That's where Buddha nature is. So whenever we want to go into a form of metta meditation, we try to open up. And I would like you to try out two different ways of sending out metta. I want you to just focus on some metta, developing bodhicitta, developing caring, compassion in your heart. And I want you to hold yourself close, and I want you to send it out to all the beings in all 10 directions. Just send it out. And then I want you to take down your arms, relax. And this time, let's do it differently. This time we just open up our heart and our chest, wide open, and just send it out as far you can to all the worlds, all the universes, all 10 directions, all sentient beings. Just connect. Take a deep breath in and out. And relax. Can you feel the difference between this and this? In Tibetan tradition, we call that geva. Okay? So whenever you make any connection with anybody, you want to open up your heart. Geva, open up. And it's much easier to connect. Because when you're connecting like that, nothing really goes out. Did you feel that? It's much more difficult. Okay? So, just open up. And so when we usually say to send out compassion, we always talk about the 10 directions. Do you have that in the Theravada tradition too? 10 directions. Did you ever try to figure out what those 10 directions are? We have, of course, all east. Where is the east? Is, I think, down here. East, is that correct? East is here? Thank you. East. No, south. West. North. Okay. Four directions. And when you look around, what do we have in those four directions? We may have land, sea, ocean, mountains. Okay. So there are a lot of sentient beings who live in those four directions. Animals in the ocean, in the trees, living in the mountains, on the mountain. They're everywhere. And then we have above us, in the sky, everything above us and below us, into the earth. Two more directions. Okay, and again, when you go up into the sky, what do we have? We go all the way out of planet Earth, we go into our universe, we see all those different planets lined up, we go out of our Milky Way. Anybody ever saw that, the power of 10? Nobody? My God, I don't feel that old yet. The power of 10, when you have a computer, try to Google it. The power of 10, which takes one little piece and then it just goes by multiplying by zeros, going up out into space. It goes further and further away. And it's really interesting to see how we just go into this space. Okay, so everything out there above that direction goes out into space, into all the different universes. And the same thing, of course, going into the ground, into Mother Earth. And there are a lot of earthworms, a lot of beings who live in there. so that we all send our love and compassion out to them. And then we have past and we have future, two more directions. There's a lot of compassion that we need to send out into the past. All the pain that we have experienced with anybody else, we can start to send love and compassion into that relationship. The same thing in the future. We don't know the future, but we can send out loving energy. And then we have external and we have internal. Okay? So again, external goes all the way out and internal goes inside of our body. Well, how far can we go inside of our body? We just did a wonderful meditation where we literally tried to connect and relax the different aspects. We now kind of know them. We have bones and we have all different organs in there, skin and kidney and heart. We have arms and legs. But what are they? We have a lot of cells in there, trillions and trillions of cells. We have systems that work together. And actually, when you look at the whole body, it is basically not so different than what you see, what we're doing here on planet Earth. We have little villages. Okay, every house in a village is a cell. A cluster of cell is a village. And then maybe it grows out, it becomes a city. And then we have a state, and we have a whole country. So maybe a country is a whole system. Well, how do we keep that village healthy? We have food that needs to come in, supplies that needs to come in, and we have garbage that needs to go out. Is that correct? And when we don't have garbage that goes out, you end up being in a whole mess, and it may start to smell. And guess what happens within that village? People end up getting sick. When the garbage truck wouldn't come and pick up all our garbage for a year, would be pretty bad in a village, wouldn't it? And people would get sick because you have a rat population who would start to develop, and they may come up with all kind of diseases, and they may bite people, and they may get sick from them, or just because of the air, okay? Or what about we would have the garbage truck coming in and take all the dirt out, but we don't have any kind of food coming in. The whole village would starve. Okay, so there's a whole ecosystem that's going on. And today, I'm really amazed, especially on the young people, how they are interested in our ecology. And they really start to see that we are quite abusive toward that. And they start to make changes. And I think in some ways they're spearheading it. I'm maybe a little bit an older generation, but I'm learning from them. And I feel like they're the one leading my generation to be much better, to take care of Mother Earth. And kind of the same thing happens within our body. Okay, our body, we have those clusters of cells. And every cell basically is a household, and they have need nutrition, and they have waste. And when the cell releases the waste, it goes out into the tissue, and when the system is not healthy enough to take that garbage out, then you end up having a lot of toxicity, and with that you end up having a lot of illness. Okay, on the opposite side, when you have all that, you know, clogged up system from all the garbage, or you don't have enough space in there, then the nutrition that comes in through the blood system, you know, we're eating, goes into the stomach, goes into the blood system, all this, that nutrition, it's supposed to go from the blood system into the cell, out into the tissue, into the cell. When the tissue is clogged, the nutrition cannot get into the cell. The cell is starving. So we have a very similar ecosystem within our own body. And this is very fascinating for me, especially as a physician, because most of the time we don't really look at the body as a whole universe or universes put together. The same thing as out there in the sky, we have in here. The same thing we have in villages and country, we have right in our body. Okay. Now there was a researcher, and actually is a researcher, he's still alive, he's in the 80s, he's French, and he's living up in Canada, he has his own lab, his name is Gustave, what's his last name? Can't think of his last name right now, it will come back later. However, he developed a very special microscope, and he was able to look at all different substances from the body to nature. And he found that there is a substance called somatite, called little bodies. And they are so small that it actually is very difficult to see, but he actually can see them, he can trace them, and he can observe them. And interesting enough, those little bodies, they are literally in every substance. They're in our bodies, they're in the air, they're in everything. When a body dies, they continue living. They don't die, they continue. And they have a cycle, a life cycle, and in a healthy being, in a healthy case, that life cycle goes through three different stages. And it just divides up, and then it redivides up, and redivides up. And that seems to be quite normal. However, under certain circumstances, these little somatites will change and add 13 different cycles into it. So when they go after these first three cycles, then they go and turn into bacterias, and then into funguses, into yeast, into viruses, into all the different aspects, and eventually turn back into somatites. Okay, 13 extra spaces. And they have found out that people who are ill actually have exactly developed those cycles. So those cycles, those intrinsic form of bacteria and viruses and yeast that comes from that, develops within ourselves. It's not somewhere out there that we're catching. It's right in our own body. And it's interesting, did you ever kind of think when you have an apple, and when you leave an apple out that has not been to the radiation, so that means it's a natural apple, okay, natural fruit, and you leave it out, you know it will eventually decompose, okay, and it end up having worms and everything else. Well, you can take that apple and put it under a glass container, and by itself it has worms and everything else. Where did the worm come from? Couldn't go through the glass, okay, because it has that same cycle. And when things starting to break down, and the environment becomes a certain amount of acidic, then that cycle start to change of the somatites, and we end up having all those other bacteria and viruses and all of that starting to become alive. The whole ecosystem changes. Well, the interesting part, and this is for me the most interesting part of it, he actually figured out how we can change from a 3 to a 13, add 13 cycles to that somatite cycle, which makes us sick. And he found out that it has actually our own emotions. It is fear. It is anger. It is all those different aspects that, especially in a Buddhist tradition, but actually in all religion, they were talking about how damaging it is. You know, and we didn't, you know, it's nice, yeah, I know, it's not good to have anger, it's not good for me, you know, I'm really angry at somebody, and we know that, but we really never have seen it. How does it affect us? Well, here he actually demonstrated how it affects us because of that somatite circle that actually changes, that adds these extra cycles into it through our emotions. For me, being in a health field, that was incredibly interesting and fascinating, because we go right back to Buddha's teaching with the paramitas. Okay? What does the paramita say? Generosity, What is generosity? Give up. Open up. Open up. Okay? When you open up your heart, you are relaxed. You're joyous. So you have all those positive emotions. Okay? Generosity is not just about giving money. It's about giving of your joy, giving of your happiness, feeling that the connection between all of us. Okay, geva, opening up. Okay, that's what prevents those extra 13 cycles. Okay, and then of course the ethics. How does that affect us? You know, when I grew up, the idea was, of course it was in the old country, whatever you do, you have to do act in a way that you can go to sleep at night. Anybody in here ever heard that? That's actually very good advice, you know, because when we cannot sleep well at night because we did something not correct or we were not nice to somebody and all of those things, it affects that cycle and we're hurting ourselves. And that goes right again into trying to honor people, respect ourselves the same way. Okay? Patience. Impatience is something that just creates so much stress. And especially out in this world, it's sometimes not that easy not to be stressed. And of course it gives us a great opportunity to develop patience. But patience is also one of the parameters. So all of the parameters have actually teaching us to be in equanimity, to be have peace, to be joyful, to have geva, open up, to be interconnected. Okay? And with that we end up having a calm mind. And our body is much healthier. We can meditate better. We can see reality much more what it is. We don't just jump onto something. We don't just have our ego jump on something and make us believe what our mind tells us. We have a little more distance. We can maybe not always grab on our thoughts. We can just let it happen and see be. And that actually helps our own body the most. So when we try to meditate and we try to practice, it has a much, much greater implication than just being kind of peaceful and nice and doing something because I guess it's good to do. It has a direct effect on your own health, on your own mind, on your own body. So with that, when we open up our hearts in metta, in all 10 directions, one of direction goes right into our own body. Because within this body, within all the cells we have, there are only like around 10% of all the cells in your body are literally what you're seeing, your body. The arms, the legs, the organs. And 90% of all the other cells are all parasites, very few of them, but bacteria. You cannot exist without bacteria. There are a lot of yeast. There's a lot of other beings that make up this body, which without it we could not live. So you're literally in charge of a whole universe. You're the king and the queen of this body. And your mind states affect every single organism, every single sentient being that is carried within your body. So when you try to be calm and try to send out loving energy and practice, it has a tremendous effect on this universe within yourself, on the universe outside of yourself, on the universe in all 10 directions. Because everything one does can be felt in the furthest corner of the universe that has been known by all the sages in the past, and it's true today as much. And next time when you practice, maybe you want to just open up your heart into all directions and send out metta with joy.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.